but the dunamis power, and then the glorious light of Christ. Do we continue to repeat that, or we say it once and then we sit there and just be quiet and meditate in our mind? Like, how do we?
No, you keep focusing. See the light going in me, the power going in me. Keep focusing.
So you continue to say that.
Continue to say it. Continue to receive. Then scriptures will come up, and then you know we got the Holy Spirit to help us with this. But it is powerful. I've been in ministry 42 years now. I started doing it, and it brought more rest to me than I ever had in my life. It just, you'll keep finding wound. It doesn't mean you're a bad person. You just keep finding them. Some of them way back, like she found them, she's way back, and then she said the wound keep coming because the person's still there. So God had to give her wisdom. She's being victimized some kind of way. Got to be stopped. So yes, keep saying it. But I remember what I told you about the dream. I told you that don't try to go find wounds yourself. Just take your time. If you don't have no wound, just put the light in there. And then the Holy Spirit going to show you what wounds you had. Might have been from the way you were reared. Might have had something happen in school. Could go way back. But every time you need to deal with one, he's going to show you. Then you're going to find your soul coming to be a place of rest. And then it'll be able to receive the revelation that the Holy Spirit is sending through your spirit. They got to be connected. That was the missing connection, that our soul had been set aside as a not so important entity. And we just dwelled on our spirit, but yet our soul, I'm finding out, is our connector. It is the one, your mind, your emotion, your will, and your conscience is so important to have them restored and renewed that you can function in your whole man. So, yes, you do that, but you're going to grow. You see, you're a beginner. You're going to grow. God going to give you some insight just for you. And after some months of soaking, it's new to us. We're kind of trembling. But after some months of soaking, God's going to give you a plan to keep functioning in that dimension. And you'll get strong and strong.
Yes, sir. Got one question.
Yes.
All right, so I dream, and the only ones that I actually remember are the ones that are, I guess, like a major impact. But then I guess some of them that are subtle, as soon as I wake up, it's like I remember some of them, but they're like instantly, they're like gone.
Me too. Yeah, so don't worry about it.
Okay.
I said, what was it now? What was it? So it means that he don't want me to mess with that now.
Okay.
And he gonna give you more. He gonna give you one to deal with what you're really dealing with in due season. It might not happen overnight, but they'll come forward.
Yes, sir.
Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. There's your chance. If I go to school, they never give me a chance to ask no question. There it is. You don't have to force none. But, yes.
I ran across a case, one of my members, dealing with, I guess, a self-inflicted wound. They've gone through some things where dealing with unforgiveness with other people. I had encounters with other people, unforgiveness. So dealing with this soul wound being healed, should that person exercise going back to those persons who they had this encounter with and ask for forgiveness as a part of their own healing to get their healing or their deliverance from whatever may be vexing them in that area?
At this time, we're so early in the stage of this, I would just like for them to soak. I know what the scripture says. You know, the scripture says you ask the person to forgive you. But I think in the soaking and in the light, and that Luke 11:34-36 in the Amplified Bible, when your soul get flooded with light, your body get flooded with light, your affairs that you're dealing with get flooded with light, and you will know the one to go to and the one not to go to in due season.
Yes,
some people you can't go to because they won't receive it. So only the Holy Spirit knows. So I don't want to start people running back trying to find everybody that had a little something with,
right,
because it won't work. So our man forte now is we've come to the point that the Lord has revealed to us how that many of our hindrances of not growing as Christian, we're looking at our spirit, we're trying to clean our life up. We really can't live a pure, holy, sanctified life without our soul in contact with our spirit. So I would just tell her, keep soaking, because she'll get heal whoever to get dream. And now, remember what those dreams, those dreams have come, but they have to be unwrapped by you and the Holy Spirit. You're not going to just have it, understand what it is, because sometimes the dream be a mystery.
Right.
And then he'll reveal it to you, or what wound he's trying to deal with. So I would just tell her, keep soaking. Got a lot of stuff going to come up, and I don't want to tell my son, when the question come up, give me a call. Because a lot of questions going to come up, because a lot of stuff going to come up, but we're about to get out.
Yes, sir.
And it'll take a little while, but that's the way I'll do that.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. Well, on you. I'm going to start teaching in a minute. But I know we're in a new area. My son's going to preach it. I think I met him preach it Sunday. I'm their overseer. I'm watching it real close to make we stay on base. I think it's a great time in the church for us to, especially black people. One of our greatest wounds is a slave mentality. You fight your positive mind that you try to come out the ghetto and you try to do all those things, but yet within you got to get yourself straight.
Yes, sir.
That only person you're a slave to or servant to is Jesus, and that's on purpose, okay? And that'll help you get your thinking straight. You become more assertive, more sure of yourself. Just free. Your freedom, there, God, it's going to come. I mean, it will manifest. It's the wisdom that God will show you when your soul bowed in the presence of your spirit and open up to what your spirit is saying, then the mysteries and the secrets and the revelation and the illumination and the know-how-ness from God will come. It's so wonderful to be able to deal with cases that seem like they're impossible, as if I'm trapped, I can't get out of this. And that's what's been happening. We've been getting revelation, but the revelation wasn't able to go through to our bodies and to our affairs. So therefore, a lot of manifestation that we're supposed to be getting, we have not been getting. We've been doing good because we're teaching the word and following good leaders. But by the same token, I believe this opened up a whole new Red Sea. People hurting, worried, anxiety,
yes,
Sam trap, Sam mess. And I think we're going into a realm of wisdom,
yes, sir,
that we've never been in before. I think we'll learn some steps. Like the Bible said, the step of a good man is ordered by the Lord, and he delights in all his ways. I think we're going into some steps. Like I said, I got a letter already on my desk. This young lady is thanking me. She says, I thought you just teach on money. She said, I went on your site. The Lord told me to go to your site. Say, my God, Mama, we ain't crazy. He teaching on the soul. They've been thinking about it, you know, and they heard a lady teach on it. And, you know, I have a pastoral anointing and an apostolic anointing, prophetic anointing, all these anointing together, just dived on that thing. And once I get on something, I'll never come out. I just dig into it because I want people to be free. I don't just want to preach no sermon. Well, people be dealing with problems, man. They want to know how can I get out of here? I got that little box on my desk. Let me out of here. And so that's what we're aiming to do, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right. Let's go to work then. I'll do that every now and then, give you a chance to ask questions. Sometimes you may have a private question. I know y'all are the good pastors, my sons, but I just know I'm responsible as your apostle. Responsible to make sure you understand what we're doing now and why I believe so many things about to break loose and I'm excited about it.
Yes, sir.
I'm excited about it. I ask the Lord to let you have more dreams and to unravel those dreams for you. God give you wisdom to deal with that thing, man. Lord God. Let's go back. You may be seated. Let's go back a few moments, and then I'm going to start off in a session about the Lord revealing himself to us, his identity. Identity is a very powerful word. Write that word down, identity. Write the word down. If you don't know your identity, you're always going to live in crisis. Okay? You remember I told you that blessing is more powerful than miracles. Because miracles come in crisis. Blessing is an ongoing thing. In ministry, two of the main things I told you already that should be in the foundation is stability and alignment. Those two things are very important, that you become stabilized and you become aligned as the Lord plants you somewhere. And then in ministry, and especially in the apostolic season, that we're training apostles and training people in the apostolic anointing, it's very important that you be in position to receive the transfer of the spiritual DNA in a person who has something to offer to you. It will make things a whole lot easier for you. You don't have to go through what all they went through. And so that experience, that knowledge, that understanding, that success can become yours through the spiritual DNA. And then along that same line, we talked about, it's been a while since we've been together, but the impartation of mantles. Now, mantles actually is an identity of a ministry, identity of a person. It's different than the impartation. Impartation gives you instruction. But when you stay close enough, as Elijah and Elisha, Moses and Joshua, Paul and Timothy, I think he said, I've sent to you, have my own. And I got guys here the same way. And young lady. We'll never get wiser enough in the spirit to separate ourselves from covenant.
Yes, sir. Right.
Covenant is so powerful, and we need to stay in that covenant. That we when you got a covenant, it's blood. You're not gonna play with it. Number five, the fifth thing I'm talking about is just telling you, going on real. Governmental order. Governmental order. Now listen to this very carefully. If you're going to be successful, and I think all of God's ministries were successful through following somebody who had been where they need to go. If you're going to be successful, governmental order is this. You're not forced to submit. Not forced to submit, see? See, you submit because you want to submit, and you be like these fellas, and these instructions that I have, they're not forced. I don't force them to submit. They submit because they want to submit.
Right, right.
So therefore, as I rise, they rise.
Yes,
you see what I'm saying? So governmental order has to come back in ministry. The spirit of continuity, and that's talking about the members' willingness, the spirit of continuity, the element of self-sacrifice. All these things got to be there, you see, self-sacrifice. We must know, between me and these guys and this girl that are close to me and working with me, relationship is important. Yeah. Now I'm going to tell you about three or four terms that I'm going to start out tonight teaching, but I'll tell you about three or four terms that I need to go back over when I was studying my note. Asylum, A-S-Y-L-U-M, asylum. Simply wish to be enveloped in the success of the ministry. They don't want to be taught. They don't want to be fathered, but they're just caught up in the success of the ministry. And that person will not sacrifice. That person does not have, they want companionship instead of relationship. They want rub shoulders. And so, and then, but the assignment calls for accountability. Mm-hmm. Another term I saw, I read it, but I hadn't caught the full concept of it, hoovering, H-O-V-E-R-I-N-G. That's a person in the air that never land. They just, you never can stop them. They won't do their own thing. They're ready to do their own thing, and you really can't help them that much because they're out for the end.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's talk about Jesus reinforcing his identity to his disciples and some of the ways he did it. And it's the same way as, you know, Jesus was an apostle too. And so in apostolic leaders, the first thing a leader has to do is locate themselves. And I'll tell you three things under that. apostolic leaders to first locate themselves, then three things, A, B, C. Once the leader have located his or her primary anointing and skills, so they're locating their primary anointing and skills, they got to have it. You can't give what you don't have. Okay, secondly, the picture of what need to be reproduced is much clearer. In other words, in this school, we am, and first of all, because somebody get complicated, reproduce what the Lord wants, but reproducing ourselves, what the Lord has put in us. So in order for to do that, the leader has to know his anointing and his skill. The Bible says in Romans 12:3, not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but it didn't say don't think highly of yourself. And you got to get rid of all this, people telling you about all these high insignificant you are. You don't be hearing that. You're significant to the Lord. Might not be to them, but to the Lord you are. All right. A secure identity in a leader is essential for the reproduction of generation. A secure identity in the leader is essential for the reproduction of generation. You know the word reproduction. This school should put something in you that you didn't have before you came. Okay? So Jesus was constantly reinforcing his own identity among the disciples. Here's one of the ways he did it. You'd be very familiar to it. Numerous times he recorded saying, I am. See? So he's getting rid of the doubt to them. He knew who he was. And so by reproducing that in you through the various classes, when you leave here, you should know who you are. All right? When he recorded saying, I am, he followed up by a description or aspect of his mission or character, for instance, such as, I am the bread of life. See, now I'll tell you something about the soul here. The Lord just taught me that 4 or 5 days ago. Now I go back to the Bible. I'm reading the Bible a little clearer. I had some scales there. I had, you know, at 40-something years. You'll never find out your spirit's thirsty. You'll never find out your spirit hungry. In the Bible, it's always your soul thirsty. And so what it made us incomplete because we were leaning, we just let our soul went with it, was leaning totally to our spirit. And I think what happened to me when I first started, I just got hungry and stayed hungry. So, but I see it had to be coming out of my soul. I think in you, if you're listening to me, and if you talk to the Lord about it, I think you're going to become more hungry. I don't see enough hunger in the body of Christ. You know, I see people taking notes and coming to school and coming to church. But really hungry people, you can't find them. You can't really, they're not really hungry. They do enough, you know, but they're not really hungry. When you're hungry, man, it's on you all the time. But I think the problem was that not being able to yield to your total being as God designed for it to be by a doctrine we was taught over the years, which the Lord helped us a lot, but I'm ready to go farther. Yes, all right. So Jesus said, I'm the bread of light, I'm the light of the world. He's identifying himself. So he made his identity clear to his disciples. I think a pastor's identity should be clear to his followers. Yes, what he made up of. You follow what I'm saying? So to give them a view of where they're going. Or the author said, giving them an expectation of what they could receive from him. See, when the identity is clear, it created an expectation in you what you can receive from your pastor, what you can receive from this school, what you can receive, you see, because you're getting a clear identity. You don't need to set them a class and be in a crisis. You know, trying to figure it out. So apostolic covenant, Jesus give his identity, apostolic covenants are no different. Now I recognize, class, both here and the internet, we're thrust into dimension of revelations that have been hidden for a long time. Yes, And it was one behind another. When we come to the apostolic, we start tearing things down. And then the grace and the faith. Now we're in the soul, and it's more to come. But I'm thankful. So, and then I think for this to happen, as we talk about identity, you have to have a track record where people have confidence in you. You know, because sometimes this stuff is shocking. You've been going 25 years down the road, and all of a sudden, man, I ain't been tending to my soul like I should. We knew Romans 12, too, but we didn't know all the application to really identify now with our total man. And I thought, I taught one message as when I was coming in, kind of new to this myself at large, but I knew the Lord told me, he says, get your spirit, your soul, and your body as one man. I never heard that before, as one man. And now, and so in understanding what part my spirit plays, that everything that God has done, my spirit already has it, have it. Now that's shocking news to a large degree, you know what I'm saying? Already have it. And then I found out the connotation, I'll get back to that in a minute, the connotation of the soul, where once I find out I have it already, now I have to know how to transfer it. And you're not going to transfer it without your mind. Your emotion. Your will. And your conscience. You're not going to transfer it. So that's two slapping identity right there. When I was born again, everything that God had, he gave to me. All things are yours. That's a reality. But it has to become a revelation. Then you have to receive it. You see. All right. So the apostolic covenant is no different. This should begin with a clear presentation of the identity and function of the leader. Apostolic covenants are far more than friendship or acquaintances. See, you don't play with it. That's a certain reverence. It's time you laugh, but at the time you got to be watching out because something about to come through. They are a supernaturally, watch this. They are a supernaturally engineered connection of kingdom components, designed to accomplish the ultimate will and purpose of God. Let me get it again. They are the supernaturally engineered connection of kingdom components. In other words, bringing the kingdom as they bring technology together in the natural, the technology of the spirit and the technology of the supernatural should come through instruments who are designed to be leaders. And you should know where they're going. You shouldn't be sitting there in the blind, your pastor preaching, you're on the way going. You know, you should have some demarcation mark that you can follow and grow in. The author points out that in Matthew 16:13-17, you know that what Jesus said, who that man said I am, give us an example of how Jesus stimulated the disciple understanding of his divine identity. And they found out his divine identity, he's the Christ. He's the Christ. The Spirit of Christ, write this down, the Spirit of Christ is the government of God. The Spirit of Christ is the government of God. So when we understand, we get revelation, and Jesus stimulating the disciples to understand his divine identity. You can't understand a divine identity in the natural. Okay. Because I'm building you up for the next statement. I'm making another statement. You got to be with me now. You see, Jesus was I am. He was revealing who he was. He was giving illustration or manifestation of who he was, multiplying the bread. I'm the bread of life. You know, I just believe everybody, man. You multiply the bread and feed them 5,000 people. I believe it. Let's go. You know, you got to have some evidence. Yes, sir. You can't just be talking. Right. You know. It gives us an example of how Jesus stimulated the disciples' understanding of his divine identity. He had some divine manifestation took place. Yeah, that's right. Wasn't just talk, you see. Now, when we are sure of his identity, we can carry out our mission as if we are part of him. But you got to be sure of his identity. Right. The apostolic covenant involved the same criteria for those who follow their leader. They must have a clear understanding of the leaders, watch these two words, identity and function. Identity and function. There's a term in here, before I read this to you, there's a term in here that is not normal. True reproductive covenants. True reproductive covenant. I'm going to read something to you, but that term is in there. And knowing this, each leader must prepare to reveal him or herself to that true reproductive covenant can exist in their tribe. In other words, ministry, if you're a product of Jesus and Jesus have sent you to minister on his behalf, yes, sir, you should be reproducing others just like you.
Yes, sir. Right, yes, sir. Right.
Same anointing, yeah. Same freedom, yeah. Same wisdom. Yes, now you got time involved. Don't get me wrong, time involved. But if you follow long enough,
yes, sir,
and begin to see some things and see how a person function, you'll be just like them.
Yeah.
And because you'll pick up the mantle, you'll pick up the anointing, you'll have insight to know what's going on. Now, also, in a setting like this, in every class, in the apostolic camp, because you're really in one,
yes, sir.
We are to plant and harvest dimensions. Plant and harvest dimension. Just forget all the other religious stuff. Just listen to what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, there's greater places. You know what I said?
Yes,
sir. There's a greater light. There's higher things that God wants you to do here.
Yes, sir.
So, and it's not elementary. So what happens here, you got to keep each other encouraged, focused, and accountable.
Yes,
sir. So you gotta do that if you're going to enjoy the benefits of an apostolic camp. Now, I won't quote this word, but I think this apostle might be more of a chief apostle than I am. And I don't think it's hurt anything. I was so spiritual, and, you know, I'm vibing. I got to watch the times and everything. But he talks about mentors and establishment. And I'm going to go through this with you. I know what he's saying when he said mentoring. I know what that means. It's beyond just the senses. A mentoring is defined as a trusted counselor or guide. Jesus' relationship with God and with his disciples is a demonstration of mentorship. Acting from a spiritual perspective, you follow me? When you're under someone, the skills should be transferred, the quality should be transferred, and the ability to an understudy or follower. In other words, you're following, you're understudying, you should receive what they're putting out.
Yes, sir.
You follow what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Say, for instance, look at Romans 1:11. Paul was a mentor, as we see in Romans 1:11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
To the end, you might be established. So what happened, those who do not have true fathering and true tutoring, they never get established.
Yes,
I guess some of the wounds that I have to deal with is people who left too early.
Yes, sir.
And I seem like I'm an old, hold you down aspect ministry, you know. I don't never jump up and say, go ahead. But I ain't heard nothing. You don't want me to lie, do you? See, I don't care how good you talk, how much you see you saw something,
right.
I ain't gonna tell you I heard nothing.
Right.
Now, I didn't hear nothing. I think God should give us the if you're going to be a father and a son, the father should know something.
Right, that's right. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, and I've seen a lot of people hurt like that. So here's when the mentoring process is successful, the end of that process should be called establishment. I like that.
Yes, sir.
See, being established. Established in the faith. Uh-huh. Established in wisdom to a certain degree. You know, you don't go out there and try to start something you're not really established. You haven't been through nothing. So the purpose of apostolic camps or apostolic covenant or apostolic school is to bring about establishment in the life of the followers. You remember what Paul was able to see the establishment of his reflection in Timothy, who he had mentored in 1 Timothy 1 2? Let me look at it, 1 Timothy 1 2. Yeah. Yep. Praise the Lord. Don't get in a hurry.
Right. Yes, sir.
Oh, God. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, boy, that's a blessing release from an apostle. He's speaking that over this young man.
Yes.
Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith.
Yes.
You see that?
Yes, sir.
1 Timothy 1 and 2. Yeah, powerful, powerful. Now, here, watch this. The core group of followers that Jesus mentored began their journey as disciples and evolve into apostles.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Well, you're not a disciple yet. You can't be no apostle.
Yes, sir.
Because you're going to have to train disciples.
Yes, sir.
When we develop covenants, we are also developing pattern of impartation. These covenants will become the conduit to which we transfer the power of God to our followers. And so when it says, when the disciples receive the power of the impartation through a covenant relationship, receive the power of impartation through a covenant relationship. Receive the power of impartation through a covenant relationship. Not hoovering. Not the asylum. But a person who is yield. In everyday word can take a licking. You know, boy, Elijah was constantly slapping Elisha. They're slapping him down. Said, no, I'm going. I don't need you.
Right.
So you have to have your mind made up.
Right.
That's what God told me, Father. You can spit on me, kick at me, or whatever you want. Right. See that little cute stuff? You got to get rid of it if you really want it.
Right.
You hang in there. They can't get rid of you.
Right.
When God sends you somebody, they can't get rid of you.
Right.
They can't get rid of you.
Right.
You can get rid of your own crazy self, but they can't get rid of you.
Right.
Get your feeling hurt. What feeling? God told you to do it. Turn to John 20, 21. John 20, 21. We're going to talk about something you probably never heard of before. Apostolic laws of reproduction. Reproducing their anointing, reproducing their mantle, reproducing their identity. Are you following me? Apostolic laws of reproduction. One of the preeminent apostolic law of reproduction is found in John 20, 21. Then said Jesus unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so I send you. After passing the test. The Father, listen to this, now listen to how powerful this is. The Father imparted his nature, get two words, his nature and pattern for earthly ministry to Jesus. his nature and earthly pattern. Class, are you getting it? His nature, see the Father. Nature, don't be going out there flapping like a buzzard, don't know where you're going, just flapping. You need to have some stability, some alignment. And then when the Lord, when the Father gave him his nature and pattern, and you know the 17th chapter of John, you read that and you're going to see something too. And the Lord Jesus constantly reinforced that nature and pattern by sharing it with the disciples. See, it's down line here. And so the author said, this is how strong covenant are established between leaders and followers. Now, LTMA is one of the strongest ones I ever seen. We're not busting and hustling and sweating in each other's face all the time. We're doing ministry. But when it's time to come together, we're there. Now, you know, people who hoovering and don't want no covenant, we're you to check them out and let them get in a little while, they get by us. But after we find out that all the excuses they make, they really wasn't real. And so, you know, we love them on out. I mean, we don't put them on, we just love them out to tell them, no, one, this not for you. That might be a group for you, but this one not for you. Okay? Because you know, people, you'll be wasting your time. All right, now listen. Apostolic covenant are established in order to develop a kingdom pattern in which your leader is able to walk out or model the following cycle, a process with their disciples, plant the seed of truth pattern which come from God. See? Watch this statement. Watch this statement. You're in school, you know. Watch this statement. Without a true covenant, without what?
A true covenant.
All right. The nature of what God wishes to transfer to believers have no fabric to adhere to. So that see the remnant. See, Revelation do not ramble. Revelation reveal. In other words, every time you come to this church, you should grow. Every time you go to Ron Field or any other church, college, you should grow.
Yes, sir.
I ain't going to no rambling church. Yes, pastor don't know where he going. He don't know what he talking about. He just trying to give me a little sermonette. Man, I got a life. I need you to talk to me from heaven.
Yes,
and so the pattern had to be set. Without a true covenant, the nature of what God wishes to transfer, the believers have no fabric to adhere to. Covenants are the fabric and foundation of lasting spiritual importation. It just, the importation just keep on coming. Just keep on coming. Keep on coming. God covenant in the Old Testament contained both a blessing for those who obey and honor the covenant and curses for those who disobey and dishonor the covenant. So, covenant is not nothing to get in lightly.
Yes, sir.
You need to know what you're doing.
Right. Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And covenant are real expensive.
Yes, sir.
Somebody have died many times and rose many times for to show you some covenant value.
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. Now listen to this. The transfer of importation through covenant is like a threefold cord. Yeah, the three things. Leaders impart the seed of spiritual purpose. Jesus gave his purpose. For this purpose, the Son of God manifested that he might destroy the work of the devil. You got to have purpose. Second, the follower receives the seed. And then thirdly, a fruitful covenant take place.
Yes, sir.
Leaders impart the seed, the follower receive the seed, and a fruitful covenant take place. If they're not hoovering, just want the success of the ministry, but they're ready to take the impartation that is coming from the Lord.
Yes, sir.
See, this is school. We don't have to be excited all the time, jump up and holler.
Yes, sir.
You know, you'll need to get some instruction here. And the matrix, M-A-T-R-I-X, 40, is Ecclesiastic 4:12. Everything that God wants to install permanently in the earth, a threefold cord is not quickly broken. You hear that? All right, let's go talking about reflecting the apostolic image. It says even God is this way as a parent or mentor. He longed to see the traits of his nature within us. You know that? We should be like him. That's one thing Jesus had going for him. He was like the Father. When a son looked at a father, something powerful should happen. What? If your heart is instructed properly, when you look at your father, you don't have to say nothing. Something should happen to you. I know I experienced that, man. I sat there and watched Brother Hagin. I was getting blessed. He ain't had to say nothing. I'm just sitting there looking at him. I'm getting blessed. Everybody else talking. Gee, man, I ain't got to talk about you enough. Hold up. I put two walls up. Watching every move he made. Paid off. Paid off. I got ministers writing to ask me to come preach. Talking about they in town. I don't do that. Come on in. Get on out. You're not coming here unless the Lord tell me. And then I can't have nobody stirring my people up right now. You know, I had one man did it. I went out of town, and he come here trying to preach a message, and Ronald was all disturbed, and when I got back, I didn't want to be cast a man. He come here preaching about the end time, you know. I believe the end time going to take care of itself. We need to know what to do this time. So he had the people so confused. Ronald was confused himself. I know Ronald's a Bible student. And so when I came back, Ronald told me what happened, and I said, you know, I told the people, I came in the pulpit, and I said, y'all remember what I taught y'all? They said, yeah, I stay with that. and release came, because he knew, see, my people know my language. See, a pastor can cut your head off with his pastor, with his member, and you don't know your head cut off. Because those members know that pastor, and know when he says, sheep know that shepherd, and they know when he's saying something. Come on, pastor, y'all don't know that. Yeah. That pastor can say three or four words, and you shut down. I had to put a lady out yesterday. Calvin Center here. Yeah. She came from Calvin Church. I mean, she passed through there. Now. But, you know, I mean, we talking about, she talking about a sitcom, and walked up to a woman and said, your husband looks something good. It looks like my husband. And I'm trying to talk to him about that. Man, she don't look good. The woman said, the only thing kept her living is the woman respected me. Mm-hmm. But it's up to me to deal with it. This is the second, third time I warned about things. So once the committee come to you, listen to the committee. Please listen to the committee. Because when I come, I don't want to hear nothing. Because you got some people can talk to you and get you if you let them talk. So you don't let them talk. See, Jesus even said in John 14, 30, I'm not saying nothing. Yes, sir. So I think I said best, you know, we're not for you. It's best for you to find you another church. Yeah. She's going to end up back at Philadelphia. And I love her. I tried, but I can't put up with it no more. Yeah. Yes, sir. You know, I can't put up with it no more. Just find you a church. I put quite a good many members out. Yeah, they ain't ready for me. When they look at us as a leader, they should be transformed to what we are through the process of mentoring and spiritual DNA transfer. See, I see y'all boy laughing. Y'all ain't never put nobody out. You got to put them out sometime. Yes, sir. Yeah, they ain't of this flock. Right. Yes, sir. See, it's not made for this flock. They're for another flock. Yes, sir. I can't have more people fighting you and fighting the devil. Yeah. And you up in here, they're trying to get a word for their life. Right. And you up here trying to get a business going or something. Man, I got time for that. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, the apostle described how this transfer is made. But we all, with open faith, eyes beholding as a glass mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changing the same image from glory to glory, even as by one spirit we are changing to the image of what we see. What we taught. The glory of the Lord is the catalyst that produced that change. Glory light. Talking about the light. Leaders, listen, must be covered with the glory of the Lord in order to change any of their people.
Yes, sir.
They got to be a leader. They got to have some kind of light on.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Right.
Him being a leader said, the leader out there said, it sure is dark out here. He ought to have some light or something.
Yes, sir.
A revelation, you know. And sit down inside you, you got trouble in your family. He come and said, sit down inside. He said, baby, I got this much trouble you got. I tell you, it's rough. I tell you, we just got to bleed together. I don't want that.
Yes,
I could have called a milkman.
Right.
I would have got some milk.
Yeah.
My pastor said, down to me, yeah, it's rough. It's rough. I don't know what you're going to do, but we're going to pray about it. No, he ought to have an answer.
Right.
Or she ought to have an answer.
Yeah.
Glory provides light and illumination. People will never be any better than the level of illumination that is in their life. Light. See, you got to have that light. Why? They can't be changed into an image they cannot see. No. Here we go. No one goes beyond their level of light.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Ephesians 1, you know, he's praying for that we be enlightened.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. So he said, spiritual leaders ought to provide that light. So that each person can see himself in the configuration and context of God's kingdom purpose. And if you're going to do that, if you're going to go out there, you're going to be a minister, that's what you got to do. A prophetic leader. We must look into the future to see what the requirement would be for the generation ahead of us. Be able to see it. I like it. Those, I can't put my hand on the scripture here, but they prophesied about a new grace coming. The prophet prophesied. And then Jesus said, the prophet prophesied a lot of things they wasn't going to see, but they knew it was up there. We must prophesy and show them things to come, that they may prepare them to function properly in the future. I know from coming into grip with this connection of the soul that I'm the fruit of the Spirit and the arm of God, the arm of God really for your soul.
Yes, sir.
See, I've been trying to protect my spirit with the armor. My spirit don't need no help. I'm trying to help you. My spirit said, you know, the arm of God actually for the soul. If the spirit already got everything, it's a sealed deal.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We must show them how to take what we have imparted and walk into the future, applying the new technology, that's a word the apostles use, over the foundation of what we have taught them. Prophesize new dimensions and prophesize new spiritual and natural technologies to your spiritual sons and daughters. Whet their appetite for the conquest of kingdom. Take them places where no man have gone before. See, in our area, apostolically, like I said, them boys, they told me, a bunch of them boys was preaching the same thing Sunday morning about the soul and the wounds. I think Leroy listened to about three or four of them. And so that's the way it's supposed to be.
Yes, sir.
So the whole family can be on the same page.
Yes,
we can grow and develop stronger, you see. Let's talk about that some more. Right in the middle of this. How many more minutes I got there? How long I been teaching? What you start out with, an hour?
Hour and 15 minutes.
Hour and 15 minutes. Well, 35 minutes. How long I been teaching?
48 minutes, sir.
48 minutes. Thank you, sir. Y'all got to be actually a man say 48 minutes. I start off, you know, when a new, I'm responsible as an apostle. This is a almost virgin territory for a large part of the body of Christ. So I'm real serious about this. And I'm looking real deep at it. I study hours and hours every day to make sure. Kyle, when I be at Calvin's church next week, I'll be dealing with 3 John 2. I see prosperity more clear now. I'll show y'all some things about prosperity from that one verse that will propel you swiftly into prosperity. That's one of the things that's been holding our prosperity back. In looking at James 1:21, where it talks about different sins, then it says, receive the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Now I'm finding out, you know, we're talking about being a hearer and a doer of the word, but actually James was talking to Christians and was telling them how to function in their soul, how the word, being a doer and a hearer of the word, according to their soul, that their soul can connect with their spirit. See, it's just, they just change everything. I think it's been a major problem for release and transfer. See, you believe, receive, and release. But when you get your spirit, soul, and body in one, you see 1 Thessalonians 5:23. I'm just going off a little bit. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 now make it's more real to me. And then you have heard me say it. I think many of y'all was at the meeting. But then all of a sudden, God revealed to me Romans 12:3. He revealed to me grace, soul, and faith. They're together. That my soul sitting in the midst of grace and faith. Never seen it in all my years of preaching. Never seen it. Why? I wasn't looking for it. See, until you get enlightenment, you can't look for it, you know. Healing. You're healing now. I mean, you're healing of your body. We've been trying to get our bodies healed. And we haven't had great success. It's because the sickness keep coming back because it's in our soul. Finances, same way. Relationship, the same way. You know, you heard me talk about, you know, you have 2 king-size beds in your room and everybody up in there. Everybody offended you, everybody. Now, you remember these 3 ways, too. Remember these 4 things. You can cause a wound yourself. Somebody else can inflict you with a wound. Trauma and sin cause wound. You're going through something. You start going through stuff. Find out that the Apostle Paul in, 2 Corinthians 12, when he talks about that throne in the flesh, that thing came from trauma. Paul had went through a lot of stuff. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, the reason I have a confirmation on this, God just challenged me about biblical characters were people like us.
Yes, sir. Right.
Okay.
Right.
Yes, sir. And so sometimes we feel that they're untouchable and they're God. They're not God. Right. That's why he put them in there. So God had just told me about there are flaws in biblical character, just like there's flaws in me.
Yes,
and he says, you need to see them to know what I'm saying to them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And so if you notice Paul, he talked about infirmity there, infirmity. And so I believe he got delivered from that, whatever it was. But I think it was because of wounds in the soul.
Yes, sir.
Job proved it clearly.
Right.
23 times Job talked about being vexed.
Right.
All right? And he said, my soul vexed.
Yes, sir.
Because he's vexed because of all the trauma. You know, all your children dead.
Yeah.
Then your wife, she didn't miss a turn.
Yeah.
She said, cuss God and die.
Yeah.
And she really missed a turn.
Yes,
but all this trauma, it got in on him. So you had to protect yourself. Y'all all have been through trauma.
Yes,
some God ain't some children, marriage or something like that. Something get crazy, you know.
Yeah.
Finances get crazy. But I think, as of now, we will train you episodically how to go to higher and higher dimensions of life. Take a while, money, take a while.
Yeah.
But I know you can sense you're on to something,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
yeah, you're on to something.
Yeah.
And we all who follow, I know you follow your pastor closely, we all who follow can sense we're on to something.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know, it's going to take, boy, I feel anointed now.
We're
on to something that's been held back from us.
Yes, sir.
Denominational wise, we practically, oh Lord, I gotta be careful so I don't get follow just the same people.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord trying to get to us, and he couldn't get to us. He said, you got to be open.
Yes, sir.
When the Lord trying to speak to you, so I'm real open. If I hear a teaching, I say, all right, let me judge. Let me see what happened here. And my spirit, I find out that it's God, then I'm going deeper into it.
Yes, sir.
I want what it takes to get God's people free.
Yes,
we read all these scriptures and see all these miracles and signs and wonders and demonstration, and my God,
you know.
And so that's why God started bringing demonstration in this church left and right. In my ministry, left and right, I get letters and that people getting delivered, set free. And so thank God you're in this school. Thank God you're in good churches.
Yes, sir.
Pay attention. Don't get ahead of yourself. Just take your time. Listen to the Spirit of God. Improve your wisdom on your soul and your spirit being connected. That's where you're healing at. That's where your finances at. That's where your happiness at. That's where your joy at.
Yes,
when you properly connect God's total plan.
Yes,
okay?
Yes,
you know, we knew about a renewed mind, but actually when he said, when you see mind, conscience, or will, you're talking about your soul.
Yes, sir.
See?
Right.
You're going to be able to make greater decisions now.
Yes,
wiser choices.
Yes.
As we grow, as we teach you, these things going to change. Everything going to change.
Yes,
yeah, matter of fact, it's changing now.
Yes,
it's changing now. Everything's changing.
Yes,
there's a lot of people hurting.
Yes,
it's a lot of pain.
Yes,
and I think God is developing us and you in this school to know how to deal with things in a more wiser way.
Yes,
all right?
Yes, sir.
Now, any questions? Because I'm about to close. Any question about the lesson? Any question about you, the baboon, or the Japanese? Let's go with it. I'm throwing it open to you because I want you to make sure that you understand what's going on now. Yeah. If you're led longer, at least 15 minutes a day until you got a confirmation of a scripture or a relief that is gone. Once it's gone, just praise God because you don't worry, some more coming. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. But I am to soak 15 minutes a day. Sometimes I overdo it. I just keep going. You can't hurt it. But at least 15 minutes. And where I soak, I just... First of all, if I find a wound, and I found some, one thing, I was in the theater, I told him I was sitting there, and I drift off into a nap, and in that dream, something come up, I was talking to somebody, and they said, I just can't stop that. I said, wait a minute, I need to soak this. And I know that's a lot of people testimony. Some things that, like, they can't stop, you know, eating certain things, going certain places. It don't have to be an outright, downright sin of perversion.
Right.
Just things you can. So I soaked it. I soaked it. I soaked it till I got a confirmation. You know, I think we ministers, well, we carry more wounds than you think you carry. You know,
yeah.
We deal with a lot of people, and people do a lot of stuff. We just got to let it go. But that's what you do about 15 minutes a day until I either get a scripture, get a confirmation. I told you about the lion phase. One, I was soaking. The lion phase came with me, and I started soaking. And in some way, he was trying to attack me. I started soaking, and in a matter of second, I saw something dragging him off. He was dead, the whole line. Well, I knew I had my answer then. See, I'm kind of new at this, too, so we're going to work at it together. But... there's a lot of things that are going to be revealed within the next 6 months. And a lot of people are going to get freed up in a lot of areas. Good people.
Yes, sir. Good people.
I'm not talking about bad people. I'm talking about church-going, tongue-talking, communion-taking, tithe-paying people.
Yes, sir.
All right? That's what I'm talking about. Because you see, You know, we know we have a right because we tithe. We know we have a right because we live honest at our best. But yet the devil don't respect that, and we don't know what to do.
Right.
And so we're coming into greater revelation. I think it's apostolic. Anybody want to teach me something? I mean, you might have some, you know, you want to teach me. Come on with it. What you got? Come on. What do you got? You got something? You got nothing? No, not me. I got that. Yeah. Yes. Okay, what you got to do is you soak the wound, right? I've started saying what I'm going to say. Just stay where you at. Once you find out you got a wound, you'll know when you got it. You find out. Then you repent, ask God to forgive you. Power of the cross, the blood atoned for sin. It's sin that makes the wound. So when you get the, there's no respect, disrespect to the blood. You're just taking the total thing that Jesus did for you. So the blood deal with the sin, the resurrection, the dunamis power deal with the wound, and then the glorious light that come with the dunamis power deal with the darkness and the wound. So now with the armor of God, you keep that armor on to protect you from wound to come. Future wounds going to try to get in there. But since now you know that God gave you that armor of God, and I say something, Dr. Apostle Price said something. I read his book in one setting about faith and the mind. Just forget in Ephesians 6 about the armor, about the soldier. Just take truth, righteousness, salvation, the gospel, peace, the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. And that's what you say. You say, these things are protecting me. I'm putting these things on my life and on my soul. And that's, but I think wounds of the soul, we'll be dealing with them the rest of our lives. Almost impossible to live in this world but surrounded by a bunch of crazy people and not getting, and the enemy himself. See what I'm saying? So I think when the Bible says fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, there's one of the things that we have to protect ourselves. I say it a lot. I don't know if I answered your question. You got it? Yeah, you see, the reason I say that your spirit don't really need protection is because your spirit is the nature of God. When the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he a new creature. He ain't say he's going to be a new creature, he's a new creature. And then we have in 2 Peter chapter 1 that we are partakers of his divine nature. And so we're already in our spirit, we're perfect. In our soul, we're in a process. And our body is waiting on orders. So Romans 12:1-3 is so powerful that we should soak ourselves in to see exactly what he's saying. He's talking about the total man. You're going to have questions, you know, as we go. That's no problem. I mean, when you get in a new territory, you say, I've been going this way all my life. Now he come with this.
Yeah.
Do your life need some improvement? You see what I'm saying? So, you know, God, I don't walk away here now, then I go there, I say, better check myself. You know, I ask him, say, oh, why you didn't reveal that to me earlier? I ain't asking that.
Yes, sir.
I say, hallelujah, thank you, I got it now. And I'm happy.
Yes, sir.
One of the reasons I'm happy is the turbulence and the disturbance that I see in people who want to do right. I'm not talking about, I'm talking about the wayward point. You just got to deal with them. But good people who suffering for no reason at all. And they're praying, like I said, they're praying, they're tithing, they're taking communion. But it's almost the same humdrum. Some things happen, but it's not breaking through like it should or not opening up like it should. You follow what I'm saying? And I think that at this point in life, disappointing our ministry and our camp. You know, you see, and then you got to have somebody bold enough to do this. And these boys, they're bold enough to do it. I'm bold enough to do it. Once we see it in the scripture, because I tell them, now, I mean, I rub a ball off them. They see something, I want them to show it to me. So we can get it out and make sure we're getting it to the people right, you know. But I'm pretty thorough. When I go out to something, I don't jump. I'm pretty thorough. I got in that grace message. I just had the wrong instructor. I found out, you know, that grace message wasn't telling you about holiness. It's telling you about God forgive you. But then I found out in Titus 2, 11, 12, that's exactly what grace do, make you holy.
Yes, sir.
Now, another thing I think can happen, you talk about righteousness, holiness, living a pure life, a sanctified life. I don't think you can do it fully without the revelation of the soul in which we're telling you now. Because as soon as you try to leave it, all the enemy got to do is rise up a wound. You trip, you fall off the truck again. See, some people fall off the truck, some people jump off the truck. All of y'all fall off the truck. Y'all good people, you want to do what's right. You wouldn't be in the school you want, because you know what I stand for. You know, I stand for clean living, I stand for holiness, and I stand for doing what's right. And all my instructors have the same spirit. That's what we believe in. So give it a little while. The pastor be preaching it. Just give it a while and study it. And you got your hand up there? Uh-huh. Huh?
Soaking,
yes. What should you do it? Saturation, meditation, getting it in you. Just like a sponge, you put it down in the water, it pop right back up, it ain't got no water in it. You squeeze it and hold it under long enough for it to absorb. That's what soaking is. You're absorbing the light, and that light is removing the wound. So soaking is, like I said, kin to meditation. What the other word are you just now? Saturation. Mm-hmm. It actually spending enough time under the water to get wet. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you soak a towel. You soak it in water. We soak it in light. So this new term, my sister, you're really going to have to trust your leader, who you're following. You see what I'm saying? Your leader going to open it up more, because there'll be questions. There'll be some who get scared. You know, I don't want to get scared to be sick.
Yeah.
I want to find out if there's another answer. I want it.
Right.
You know, I want to get out of my, if I'm in the jungle, I want to know my way out of that jungle.
Yeah.
I don't care how much I know, I'm still in the jungle.
Yeah.
So I want to get out. And that's our job. And our camp is increasing in revelation. All these years, you see, you need to identify who over you as an apostle, and these pastors we got in different churches. A great price have been paid to be in this moment.
Yes,
sir.
Yes.
Yeah, this isn't an overnight, unsuccessful, trying to be successful situation.
Yes, sir.
You know, this constantly seeking.
Yes.
Now you're going to enter into a lot of rest. Even though the mess might still be there, but you know you're going to leave. You're going to enter into a rest. I think anxiety, worry, fear, no expectation, just Tuesday after Tuesday after Tuesday after Tuesday, that's really not life. And going through the same thing, that's not life. So I think as you get your soul engaged properly, the Spirit of God will begin to remove some things and put some things in place, and a lot of things will start happening. But there's a rest, because the fiery dots are constantly being shot at your soul. Constantly. And that's thoughts. I see pull down stronghold, cast down imagination, every high thing that exalts itself against another, and bring, look what he said, and bring every thought into captivity. That's a soul assignment. Hold aside, see, renew your mind. So the mind, I guess because of science of the mind and all these religions come up, because I've read through some of that stuff back in the day, and they really didn't have a clue. It was just scientific. It wasn't nothing spiritual about it. But the Bible said, to be spiritually minded. That's in Romans 8, that's the life chapter, is life and peace. Life and peace. So to a certain degree, our life and our peace has not been functioning as it should now. So we're going deeper into revelation. You see what I'm saying? And now we will know how to have really a spiritual mind. See? So you think even in 1 Corinthians 2, another chapter, they're talking about manifestation and demonstrating of the Spirit. But he said, we have the mind of Christ. Who can instruct Christ? We have the mind of Christ. And so I think that we, to a certain degree, was afraid of our mind in some degrees and thought it was unspiritual. You can get over here in all mind, you're going to be in trouble. But your total man, your spirit, and your soul are supposed to work together. Yes, don't be afraid, but walk by faith, not by sight. But within the next 6 months, we're going to have enough results. We're going to have testimony. But, remember Jesus says, my yoke is easy. And my burden is light. And you're coming to me and learning me. I'm meek and lowly in heart. You find rest for your soul. Rest for your soul. So now I see in the Bible constantly. When I read John Lake's book, said Mr. Lake used to soak people in prayer. Just stay with him and soak them. He said he soak them in prayer. When I read his book, he didn't talk much about a soaking in prayer, but I saw him crying out in his soul. He would say, my soul cry out to you. See, I never used that term too much in my days, my soul, because I didn't know the supreme part that the soul played in the walk of a Christian. I knew some. I taught some things close to this, and that's why my people kept going. And then I keep my people flooded with light. Now, you could have a wound, but the light in there, the wound can't do. The light's still working with it, you know what I'm saying? But if you're in darkness, you got darkness coming in, and darkness already in, you're in trouble. You know? You never heard anybody say, turn the dark on. It come on automatic. You got to turn the light on. I was quoting that boy. That boy said, turn off the light. What that boy name? Petty, yeah, turn off the light. I said, turn on the light. Yeah. And bats can't operate in light. The devil can't operate in light. He's in darkness. When you come enlightened, he recognize who you are. And that's what we're working on. All right? All right, I'm going to shift right on out of here. Y'all go to your other class and do what you got to do. You know, I've been preaching all, I preached all last week, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and I preached Sunday. Wow. My goodness. Then a man called Colin waiting on me. All right. You don't want to miss that meeting. No.